Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Stevie. McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
Here, thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Blimes episode. My favorite part of her interview was when she talked about how she linked up with Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan, and also her Jizza story was awesome. So thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Do-do-do-do-do. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, musician and rapper Blimes.
That was impressive, Stevie Weeby.
It's good having you.
What a beautiful intro.
I try to, you know, I kind of play the same shit every time, but I try to do a variety. I grew up with Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm. I wanted my whole thing to happen. Like a Mr. Rogers vibe to it. It's been going on for 2 years now, and I've had a lot of great people come through, and can I be honest with you? I really don't know what I'm doing.
Hey, man, it's
every
working.
Every week's a blur. Every week is just,
it's fucking,
you know,
working. You know what they say, right?
What do they say?
If it's broke,
don't fix
it. Don't fucking fix it.
Yeah.
You're killing it.
I'm about to, you know, I know this is unprofessional.
Did I say if it's broke, don't fix it? I meant if it ain't broke,
if
don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And you're going to get into why my head is in the space that it is right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, in a little bit. But if you're at home, it's been a trying week.
It's been a weird time to live in this world.
Totally.
Huh?
That as well.
Because you mentioned what's going on with your family. I brought up my father and dealing with all these different types of family things, or, you know, mental issues or sickness. And it's even more apparent because of COVID and all this shit.
Totally. Yeah. Right. Everything's when you stop, like everything flies to the front of the car, you know, and we all stopped and everything's flying to the front right now.
Yeah. Do you think we might be in an alternate reality right now? Like something shifted like in 2012 or
do you think that we're not?
I think something happened. Yeah. Like on Back to the Future, like some Back to the Future shit where, you know, Biff successfully stole the DeLorean.
Yep.
Went back in time, fucking stole the Sports Almanac, fucking. And now it happened like that, but something in the space-time continuum shifted.
Absolutely.
Because, dude, it's so it's too fucked up for it to be, oh, this is normal.
Mm-hmm. It's nonstop.
Like Donald Trump is like equivalent to Biff in Back to the Future.
Too. Absolutely.
He did it. He did it. We don't know, but something, boop, shifted.
Nail on the head.
You feel that way?
Absolutely.
So absolutely. I'm not crazy for thinking that.
I mean, I don't know yet.
Yeah,
but
you feel.
I agree with you on that one. So.
Because it's too crazy. You know, like, I feel like, I know this sounds crazy because I mentioned this in the past podcast, the last 2 weeks. I feel like, I know this is kind of going to be dark to say, but I feel like we all died. Like we
everyone.
Well, no, just the people.
There was an apocalypse.
The people in your world, in my world, the, you know, like your homie, like the people that you see on a day to day basis, right? Everyone in your reality,
yeah,
all died.
Mm-hmm.
we're unaware of it, and mm-hmm. it shifted over to some Mandela effect shit.
And here we are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. Thank you. I won't be able to sleep tonight. I appreciate that. And I really need to sleep.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. I couldn't sleep last. I mean, all right.
3:30 a.m., you're getting a text from me. If
I woke
up
at 8 p.m., so I wasn't even tripping when you texted me. I'm like, oh, good. It'll just give me more time
to wake up.
To prepare.
Right.
I woke up at 8 p.m.
Greet the day, if you will.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when I wake up, sometimes I feel like, even walked into Ralph's to get groceries, I feel like something ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I tripping?
No. And it's crazy that we're talking about this because I haven't been in LA since December. And I live here, but I haven't been here. I left for 2 weeks
for
my mom's birthday and for Christmas.
Oh,
and
where did you go to?
To the Bay, where my family lives. So I grew up in San Francisco.
That's what's up.
But a few years ago, my family moved to the North Bay. So they're in Novato now.
How crazy. I've been watching stuff on YouTube going down the rabbit holes.
Yeah, yeah.
How crazy. It's crazy in Frisco right now.
Yeah.
Near the Tenderloin and... Do you know that...
I grew up on Golden Gate,
so
a hop, skip, and a jump
from
the TL, yeah.
But you know that legally a homeless person or any person could go into CVS, steal...
Take what they need.
And you can't do
shit. You
can't
stop them. You can't stop them.
There's laws now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How crazy.
Because I have friends that work, you know, in different retail situations, and yeah, you can't do shit. Yeah, you can't stop them. It's crazy.
That's fucking crazy.
Right. But also at the same time, like, fuck big business, right? Like, fuck capitalism.
Yeah.
Like, you know, mom and pop, like, I'm going to fucking look out for them. And if somebody's taking something
but
from my mom, mom and pop shop, I'm
going
to, you know, defend their
That's
honor.
Different. That's different.
But from big business, I'm kind of like, hey, man, fuck them. Like, they've been getting over for a hella long, you know? So, like
these huge corporations.
Huge corps. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Huge chains.
Capitalist
like fucking,
corporations. Yeah, yeah. That's
like,
what I'm talking
you wouldn't
about.
Trip if it was Walmart.
Nah.
Walmart.
Nah.
You know.
Yeah,
I would
exactly.
encourage you to feel. I'm sorry. We'll edit that out if Walmart comes hollering at me. But
I don't know. I very much believe in people getting the resources that they need
to survive.
To survive, especially when they've been held back from getting them for a very long time systemically. So yeah.
I mean, it's affecting me, like where I live. Do you
right
know
now.
That they found a. There's a backyard on that side of the window.
I kind of saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of saw it, right?
Yeah.
Just trying to find this place, right?
Yeah.
Homie, some dude off the street on meth
came back here.
Yeah, like came back here sometime.
Fuck.
And there's a backyard. There's a shed.
Mm-hmm.
He just set up camp right there.
Living there.
I don't know how long. My neighbor Rain texted me, said, "Hey, blah blah blah. We just had to kick him out. I'm just giving you a heads up."
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Everybody, especially in LA, it's really bad. We need. Serious change,
but
like
this is even scarier. Yeah,
level.
No doubt, I agree. But this is even scarier
is
because
like right
because
window.
It's in the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would have to know I'm back here.
Mm-hmm.
But I have
and
a theory
just be living right there.
But
next
I,
ha- to you?
I have a theory on that because I've caught other fools slipping, and then there's a common denominator: meth.
Mm-hmm.
I think fools on meth voices tell them. Hey, walk back there.
Go do they got the tweaker demonic.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's no tweaker bash over here because like everybody's going through their shit.
Well,
but, like,
you pick your poison,
the
whatever.
Fucking, the
but
vo-
the voices, the voices,
and like the projects, like the work that they need to do. You know,
yeah.
Like when you see somebody tweaked out and they're working on a project,
they have an agenda.
You're like. That's that shit.
That's that shit.
They're off that
that's
shit.
They're
working
on a grid.
Project.
They're on a different system.
That is that is a 10-day project turned to a 2-day project.
Yeah, and they won't
done overnight.
And they're fixated on it.
Oh yeah.
Because another example is this other fool. It was like 4 in the morning, and I heard rattling just right outside my door. And then I had a dog here at the time barking.
Yeah,
and that's why I knew something was
somebody
up.
Was out there.
And then I didn't go. Thank God, because they caught the dude. On the camera because our other neighbor installed the camera on the side there to see who's going in and out.
Yeah.
But she sent me the footage. This fool had a shank.
Damn.
Like he not a shank, but it looked like a sharp object, like a pen.
Damn.
Like this.
Damn.
Walking.
He was armed.
Armed
and ready to go.
Ready to do
shit. All
his,
it takes
his little.
All it takes is walking out this door to step into the wrong situation.
So I peeped out the evidence, like what he did.
Yeah.
Dude, on those steps going to my other neighbors up there, he had a whole Lego. Like, he had a project going on. Different, because I have items on the side that I discarded, like shoes and just other shit, little knickknacks I don't want in here. Yeah. And he had them spread like it was
so
like
he had a project.
Like he had a project.
So he had a project.
Like it was a store.
There's a common denominator here with the extra tenants that your building is attracting, and we think we know what it is.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
It's the meth.
Yeah,
that's the
I
common
think
denominator,
with that,
the building.
With that particular drug, because I had a good homie, like, mm-hmm. and he was this guy was a very fucking talented music producer. Like he had the MPC back in the 90s telling me about like how he's making beats, how he's you know, has all these different drum libraries and
we're
kick libraries.
When it was hard.
We're talking about
when it was.
He had a dig.
Yeah, I feel that.
So he got rid of that love for production. He started, you know, fucking with meth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this dude, it ended up him fucking with the drums and doing drum breaks to him actually going into the computer hard drive and doing a project.
Right, projects.
Like breaking down the circuitry.
Right.
And that scared me.
That's the motherfucking deep dive project drug. Like, you're just going to be on a mission. You're going to be working on it. You're going to be in it. I hope he's doing all right now.
I hope so, too.
Shouts out to him.
Yeah, shout out. Oh, that's just an alias. He's kind of he's really on the underground.
Got
like, not a lot of
got
unless
you.
You're in Long Beach in the late 90s or something. You know what I mean? So
if you wear an earmuff, we don't want to out him.
No. That's the homie. That's the homie. He's probably doing way better now. He's doing way better now. But
what'd I do with my damn vape?
Yeah. Once you find that,
I'll just talk about projects.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off topic.
No, it's all good.
Let's focus on you. I found you through social media, and then you were recommended. I don't know if it was from Rivery, but certain people recommended you.
Word.
And where are you originally from? You're from the Bay, right?
Born and raised San Francisco.
Okay, because there's a lot of music culture up there, you know. E-40's from up there.
Absolutely.
Hieroglyphics is from up there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Coos from up there.
Yeah.
So did you, how did you get into like the whole culture and the music and...
Yeah, hella blessed, first of all, to be from the Bay, because it's like definitely a different breed of people out there. Mm-hmm. Like you have growing up there in the 90s was a melting pot of the children. You know, my peers were the children of immigrants, the children of artists, you know, the children of hippies.
That's what's
that
up.
All
yeah,
went to San
sure.
Francisco.
Yeah.
And so it was such a good era to grow up there.
Hate Street, you know?
God damn, it was a good, artistic, hardworking, diverse group of people that I grew up around.
Mm-hmm.
And I am grateful as hell for it.
You said the 90s.
I grew up there. So I was born.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm not a spring chicken
anymore.
Oh,
yeah. I was just going to say, because for the most part, like I'm older. I'm in my, you know, my 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, but
in your 40s?
Yeah, yeah. 40s, you know. But,
40, you
but certain guests I have are more like
a little more youthful?
Youthful, like, you know, like they grew up during a different time.
Era, totally.
Yeah,
I
feel you on the 90s.
Yeah.
I feel that.
I'm a 90s kid. I'm a 90s baby. And it was San Francisco at that time was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's very different now, you know, because of gentrification, which has made its way to LA too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But we got it bad first, I think, you know, before prior to LA, even prior to Seattle. My father is a blues musician.
Oh, that's what's
and
up.
And blues music was wildly popular in the 90s. Like,
you could just
stumble from one blues club to the next
blues club in San Francisco.
He
was just a working
musician. He was in the scene. I grew up on the side of the stage, you know, as my parents had me
seeing live shows.
Yeah.
How did that affect you? Did that, like, spark you at all?
Well, I can't hear anything now. So now it's just, I'm guessing what you're saying. So, I'm joking.
Right.
Okay. They blew my eardrums right,
right
out.
Oh, right, right,
no,
right.
No. It definitely affected me heavily because I just fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. I think my parents told me that, like, at 2, they put me behind the drum set. Mm. And one of the lyrics from my dad's band was, I'm the big bad boss with the real hot sauce. And at two, I was playing the drums and saying, big bad boss, real hot sauce. Yeah, so it was just game over for me.
It's kind of in your blood, the whole music.
Yeah, so my grandfather was a jazz musician. His name's Sam. I'm his namesake. So my name is also Sam.
Blues and jazz.
Yeah, so my grandfather played jazz. My dad played blues. And my dad still plays blues. Mm-hmm, so he's in a band and he tours. Yeah, so my granddad played struggle music of his time. My father played struggle music of his time. And, you know, I got into hip hop at a very young age. Like,
what was the first kinds of things that you were exposed to as far as that?
I memorized front to back Waterfalls by TLC in the first grade. So when I was six.
I'm into TLC.
Yeah, 6 years old, I was standing on my desk.
They had hits, man.
So good.
You know what's crazy you brought them up? I saw them. I went down the rabbit hole, a VH1 documentary thing. I didn't know they got so fucked as far as their deal.
Yeah.
Because they were nearly...
It was bad
gold
news.
Platinum, and they were broke.
Yeah, it was bad fucking news. And a lot of deals at that time. A lot of deals.
How the fuck are you going to sell that many units and fucking
be broke?
Be broke.
Yeah, because bad deals. Bad deals. Sharks. And
because Waterfalls
that's
was
still possible.
On MTV
That's still possible
the time.
Today. People are signing bad deals today, you know? And
it's
that's
even
why
more fuck now,
everything
they want
that
I've. 360 deal.
That's right.
Where
all your money.
You play video games?
Mm-hmm.
I want some
I want
of, your
some of
video
that too.
Hoodie.
Because we're building you, right? That's like that's what they're telling people. But that's why everything I learn in this industry, I share with every other artist I know. I'm not trying to hoard the information. I'm not trying to keep
great.
That shit for myself.
No,
I'm like,
because knowledge is power.
Exactly.
In a way. Yeah, you gotta,
exactly.
Relay it.
I want my mistakes to be learning lessons for not only me, but my whole circle, you know? And it's taken me, rise and falls, you know, over. What have I been doing this professionally for 15 years to make, you know, not 15 professionally, probably.
But you've been in it. You've been in it.
10 professionally.
You've been
in the hustle, yeah, for 15 years. So it's taken me so many almost chances to finally get one that actually stuck.
Right.
And so it's just like, if there's anything I've learned, please take the information. I want to pass that on to the next person so they don't have to struggle as hard and as long as I have to try and make this shit
cool.
work.
Maybe that's a good segue. Like, so like off top, like what, like if there's a musician that ends up watching this, an aspiring rapper or a singer, songwriter, what kinds of things would you tell them as far as to help them on their journey?
I definitely think my answer for this has changed a lot over the years. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking, because that's something powerful that people at home can actually take with them out of this interview. Mm-hmm. Is like, it's changed a lot, because I used to say, perfect your craft, perfect your craft, perfect your craft.
Oh, that's absolutely. Absolutely.
But now I add a caveat to that. And the caveat is, treat it like there's not another option. Like, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going. So not only are you perfecting your craft, but you're not listening to the naysayers. You're not listening to the haters. You're blocking out everything else. And you're just moving forward with the absolute confidence that you are going to make it. Because if you stop, you will not. If you pivot, it is a good thing. We've all had to pivot this year. But if you second guess yourself, that's wasted time.
I like that word that you use, pivot.
Pivot, yeah.
It's kind of like shifting and going.
Because
the definition of insanity is doing the same things and expecting different results.
Right.
So when you pivot, you're actually like, oh, I'm going to try a different
approach. I'm going to try something
else. Yeah, exactly.
See if it works, right. But...
That's great. Yeah, I like
to pivot back, because I do want to say one more thing to anybody listening at home that's doing this. It's to get somebody in your corner. So get a team around you is also very important. Get somebody in your corner who is going to
have your back, have your best interest.
Have your back, have your best interest at heart, but somebody that you trust that's going to speak for you, because this fucking industry will try and take advantage of any niceness, any politeness, anytime you try and save face to a suit in this industry by showing them your best side and being kind and being generous and being gracious with your time, your energy, your art, your effort, they will take advantage of that. So you need to have a buffer between you and the industry. And for me, that's our manager, Pinder. And
shout out to Pinder.
Yeah, Pinder's been holding us down. Yeah, definitely somebody you can trust, who you know.
Looking out for Blimes and Gab.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
that's good.
Where are you from, Steve?
San Diego.
Word. My dad grew up there.
Oh, okay. Whereabouts? Nice.
He grew up in La Jolla, but before...
Oh, yeah. My brother lived in La Jolla. Yeah. I'm pretty familiar. My brother, he worked at the Panikin over there.
Okay.
The coffee shop.
Cool. I'm sure he knows it.
Oh, yeah. But La Jolla. It's a nice area.
Before it was La Jolla now. It was like way, way back when. They said they were like the first house on the block or something like that.
But yeah, I was... Cool. Yeah, and then with the music for me, it was mostly the same with you. It's I was more my brother was more into like Depeche Mode and Bob Marley and Black Flag or Echo and the Bunny, like just obscure rock bands.
Yeah,
but he did, he knew about like the Beastie Boys and stuff like that. But I discovered it. Rap,
yeah,
specifically rap and all that, through MTV,
yeah,
because they had MTV Raps. MTV Raps.
Oh yeah,
so every day at 4:30,
baseball cards,
yeah,
woo, that shit was fire,
and all that, it really grabbed my interest when I discovered groups like, like the Far Side, and when I saw Del the Funky Homo Sapien, this is going back to your area at the Bay, and seeing that video, Sleeping on My Couch.
Yeah.
And so.
Classic.
So it was one of those songs where I'm like, whoa, I like not only the music and the production, but I like their fashion and their whole vibe.
Aesthetic.
Yeah, the aesthetic, like really. I actually like sought after. There was like these Adidas, like. Timberland-like style hiking boots, and I found those in the mall.
Oh, yeah.
And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they were, like, tan with the green.
I wish I could remember the name.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, those were hard body.
They were really tight.
Yeah.
They were, like, hiking boots, but Timberland-esque.
Adidas.
Yeah. Like, brown with green and, like, striped.
I'm like, I remember.
And I remember finding those, and those have to do with, that had to do with the music video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that... The homie in the video had those on the couch.
I want those.
And then, so that had a lot of influence in, like, Cypress Hill.
Tastemakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, Cypress Hill, Diggable Planets, and, like, shit like that. And I'm like, oh, I like this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't front on the Fugees. That first, The Score.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, I fucking love Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, same.
Like, Lauryn Hill had a huge impact on
me. I remember listening to the Fugees, like, after school, as soon as I got home doing my homework.
But there's something special about Lauryn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, God,
and that's who stuck out to me every time.
She was tighter than those other two, Praz and Wyclef. Mm-hmm. I like Lauryn better than them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, she's tighter than them.
Yeah, she's the winner. Like, she made it. She made it, yeah.
I thought she was better.
Yeah.
But
you
going
would
back
be
to,
correct.
Oh yeah, I was just like, oh, because she not only had the lyrics, you could hear you mentioned pain and blues and jazz. You could hear the pain in her lyrics and her delivery and all that shit.
Right, and like, there's something about the, like, the timbre of when you can hear that
it.
In somebody's voice that makes for unmatched. Sonics, like, on record. I love that sound so much.
Well, like the real pain and struggle.
Yeah, and almost like a crackliness to somebody's voice. It's like you've lived a lot.
Yeah.
You've experienced a lot.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because not a lot of... Look, whatever type of music you do, I respect it. And if it's... Do you, you know? But there's a certain aspect of what you just said where I think it has to maybe, like, the time we grew up, like... I sought after that.
Right.
You know, whether it's, and this is why I love the Far Side, because they didn't sound like, they had high voice, like more like my tone, like more falsetto.
Now in my younger days, I used to sport a sag, like, and when I went to school, I carried lunch in the bag.
Exactly. I was like.
But they didn't make it, didn't sound over the top, like, it wasn't that. annoying nails on a chalkboard high pitched voice at all. That you hear a lot
there
of today.
Was like there was a certain quality to it.
Grit.
And then when I bought their album, which I've bought 100 times, the tape, the CD, Same thing with the Souls of Mischief, 93 mm-hmm. Till Infinity. If there's one album on a desert island, deserted island, I would have
on
I'd
a desert island,
deserted island.
No, I'm just kidding.
Like on Castaway, like if
you're
Tom
of course,
Hanks on
I got you.
Castaway. That would be
that
it.
Would be it. Shouts out to Opio, that's my boy.
Oh, you know Opio?
Oh, Opio is a very dear friend of mine.
We gotta talk after because we had Giovanni Marks, a good homie of mine. I work with them, and I haven't had one person from Hieroglyphics on here.
Yeah,
I was reaching out to Dell. I reached out to A+, but Gino mentioned Opio. That because he Opio's in Highland.
Yeah,
is he?
He's here. Yeah, he's
here.
In LA.
He's mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we mm-hmm. could talk afterwards, because
I'll hit him up.
I thank you
I'll
so much.
Yeah, I'll definitely see if he's got the availability for it for sure.
I'm a huge.
I mean, it's a
huge
pandemic. You never know who's gonna say they've got the capacity for it.
How
right?
did you link up with? I'm just curious.
With
Ope? How did you link up with Opio?
And I met Ope. We played a show together in a restaurant in Santa Cruz 10 years ago.
Isn't that crazy? She brought him up too. That synchronicity, because
somebody
just
else
last week at the end, mm-hmm. my homie Gino brought
who
up
you had last week.
Yeah, who I had just last week. Mm-hmm. The same topic got brought up, and he's like, "We could probably get Opio."
Yeah,
because he's seen him in Highland Park.
Yeah, that's the homie. I'll definitely ask.
So you did a show with him?
We did a show 10 years ago or something in Santa Cruz. It was in a restaurant. He had crutches, a broken ankle, like. It was not what any of us expected it to be when we got there. You know those shows mm-hmm. where you show up and you're like,
where there's like 5 people.
Oh
maybe?
Shit! This
but
is not what I
rock.
Expected. But yeah, you paid me to be here,
yeah,
so I'm a
there's
rock.
Like 8 people,
totally. And you're
those
not.
Those are fun though too. It's a challenge.
You're not necessarily familiar with the city, so you don't know the spot when somebody tells you you're playing at Mar Vista 3, and you get there and it's a restaurant, right? And you're like,
it's a
oh shit! Here we
and
go.
Then you gotta walk down, and there's a couple.
Yeah,
just a couple tables.
Totally. And I was so hungry and so like
sure you,
unknown at the time outside of the battle rap circuit.
Yeah.
I was making a name for myself in battle rap, but outside of that playing shows, you know, I wasn't begging, you know,
that.
I couldn't
so you have,
be a choosy beggar, you feel me? I was just down to rock.
So you were in that's interesting.
Yeah, it was a battle rap like I definitely was one of the first like before lots of females battle rap started popping off and that became like a whole thing and a whole arena. There was probably 4 or 5 of us women battle rappers. And,
okay.
And I was, you know, in the early days of it really popping off on the internet. Like we're talking Grind Time, you know, Grind Time Now
that's
era.
That's where I think I've seen you.
Yeah.
Cause I watch you. I'm a fan of it.
Word.
Yeah. We've had Dumb here. Shout out to Dumb. Dumb.
That's my boy too. Yeah.
But I think, on one of the LA ones, you were, you know, at the judge at the end.
At Reveries?
Yeah.
Was it Reveries battle?
Maybe.
Yeah, at the end, probably. Or, like, I don't know. I popped
into
a lot.
Shout out to Reverie. We just had her on, too.
I know. Shouts out, Rev. What up, girl?
Yeah.
I miss you.
Yeah.
If you're watching this, you're probably not because you're hella busy, but I miss you.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where I was. Sorry for going off topic.
No, it's
but
all
that's
good.
Where,
that's
you know,
what this is all about.
That's where I think I'm making the connection. I'm like,
probably.
Okay, you said something.
I battled at Rock the Bells 1 year against Dirtbag Dan. That was terrible. I hated that battle. I battled a bunch on Grind Time a lot in New York. There was, you know, I made it onto World Star Hip Hop in the early days. It was like White Girl Destroys Rap Battle or some shit like that. And I was like, Mom,
viral.
Look, I made it. Like, oh man, yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, that's cool. I'm just connecting the dots now.
And
so
then that led me to the success, a lot of the success that I have now musically, because I walked away from battle rap because it wasn't aligned with who I am as a person. Like I'm totally such a softy and like such a fucking lover. And
because at the court's mean spirited, you got kind of have to be a dick, right?
And like also like, why am I gonna stand on this platform that like, why am I gonna why am I going to perpetuate stereotypes on this platform that reaches millions of people when, like, right. my true goal in life is really to, like, unify people? Like, that's what I fucking love.
And uplift people.
Totally.
Through your words.
So it just, after a while, I was like, this just isn't aligned. Yeah, I am cool. actually putting on an act and being somebody that I'm not, which was fun because I got to act.
Yeah.
But it was not aligned. Like, I would meet people on the street and they'd be like, whoa, you're so nice. I was not expecting that. And I'm like,
they used to you like
being a beast, being a fucking
cutting someone down. Yeah,
a bear, you know? And I left that, walked away from it, changed my name because I wanted to get away from it so badly. Didn't know that.
Oh, so wasn't it Blimes back then?
No, it was O'Blimey. Oh, Blimey. And you'll find it. There you go. It's there.
If you're
watching this, you'll probably go down the rabbit hole. Just remember, contextually, times were different.
But she's different now. She's on her music journey now.
That's right.
That's really positive.
And that led me, dude. And the only reason I bring that up is because I want to let everybody know that's listening. The seeds you plant 10 years ago can absolutely blossom today. So I walked away from battle rap and I had no idea that it was going to eventually lead to Method Man finding me and being like, yo, you're actually, you know, through the channel,
because he's a fan of that shit.
Yeah, through the channel of Drop the Mic on TBS.
He's a fan of like Big K and all them.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a fan. He shows up to the events.
Absolutely,
right?
They hit me up and they were like, Meth, the show Drop the Mic on TBS, one of the producers, Jensen Karp, emailed me and was like, hey, Method Man is a big fan. We're doing this show called Drop the Mic where celebrities are battle rapping. Do you want to come out and meet Meth and work on the show with us? And I was like, you're fucking with me. This is unreal. Like, check the email address.
The TV show Drop the Mic.
Yeah. So I went out. I worked as a coach, a rap battle coach on the TV show Drop the Mic.
Did Awkwards do that one too?
Yeah, probably. Okay, I think so. Yeah.
I think because he was working.
He came down and worked on it.
Oh, right. He mentioned that. Yeah. Shout out to
a bunch of people.
Yeah.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
Go to Don, Kid Twist. I met Merz through working on that. Merz and I are really close now. But I went out, met Meth, and he was like, yo, like, I'm going to keep it a bean with you. Like, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Most battle rappers don't make good music, and I've listened to your music, and I've watched your music videos, and he sang a song of mine to me, and he was like, you're the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Word is bond. Yeah. You're the truth. Whatever you need,
that's
I got
so
you.
Cool.
And so
Method Man himself said that to you, those words?
Yeah, absolutely.
A Wu-Tang member?
Absolutely, yeah. I would not shit you.
I'm just letting you know, not a lot of people could say that.
I left lying behind in my old life, so I'm being honest with you. I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not blowing it out of proportion.
No, I'm not doubting you at all.
It
just kind of brought chills to me because I have going back to the shit I grew up with. I remember that fucking cassette tape of Protect Your Neck. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, it had M-A-T-H-O-D.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
It had that shit. And I'm like, well, what's this?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's like 90, what? Because that promo tape was like 90, before 93, right? Before they dropped 36 Chambers. So
should have been 91.
My homie had
he had
the tape, and I'm like, okay, these guys are special.
Yeah.
So going back to your story,
it still doesn't feel real to me.
Yeah. It's
so when
like
you're
a
sitting
movie,
here and you are like,
yeah.
I'm getting the chills. I literally text message with Method Man, and he doesn't text. He sends a video message back because he doesn't have the time to text. So he sends a video message back.
On Instagram?
No, just on text. We're texting.
I'll
text
you.
Him. I'll be like, you know, what up, Meth? This is going on. What do you think of this?
Yeah.
I hit him up because once you establish a friendship with somebody in the industry, you absolutely have to nurture that friendship.
Right.
It is a real friendship.
I'm curious. He's cool?
Hella cool.
He's down to earth.
He's one
that?
Of the most genuine, sincere guys ever. So I told you the day I met him, he said, let me know if you need anything. I went in the studio the next day, recorded 3 songs, sent him 2 of them, and he goes, if you need a feature, let me know. If you need me to carry some merch at a show, I got you. If you need a hype man, I got you. Whatever you need.
He's on that tip?
He was like, I got you.
He's on that tip.
And so I said, I am striking this iron while it is fucking hot. I went to the studio the next day, recorded 3 songs, sent him 2 of them. One of them was like, he was like, oh, that's personal. You got to finish that one. That's on some personal shit. This one, though, and I knew I knew that that was going to be the one, because it was just this old school feeling with this bluesy hook that I'm singing.
Yeah.
Hot damn. He
came through.
He came through. He recorded the verse. He sent it to me 3 weeks later, and I was literally crying.
I gotta give you a pound for that.
I was just like, Method Man just sent me a verse off the love. True, huh? Off the fucking love.
Dreams really come true. God, it's
okay,
almost
now I got the
it's
chills.
Almost giving me it. It's
now
almost,
now
shit,
I got
it's em. Almost it's almost getting me emotional thinking about that. Wow.
And to this day, not only has he stood by whatever you need, I got you, but anytime that I reach out to him, he's made himself available in the most humble of ways. He never ever makes me or Gab feel like we're bothering him or anything.
All.
Because it's a genuine friendship. And so many people in
almost
this,
like a mentor.
Yeah,
well.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like,
right.
I could call him with a question and,
yeah,
and he would be
like,
there for me.
If anyone knows the industry, that he probably knows all that shit,
right.
Obviously.
He's killing it, dude. And
yeah.
it makes
he's
me
still
so
relevant, huh?
It makes me
I mean,
so happy to see
he's
him.
Been he's been doing it since the 90s. Mm,
and he's on Power. And he's dropping records with fucking Griselda. And he's filming videos. He ended up coming on one. He had one day off while he was shooting in L.A., dropped the mic, and he had his kids that day, and he called me. I was on tour with my dad. Jesus. I used to drive my dad's band's tour bus to make money.
You have a crazy story, man. I didn't expect you. So.
Thank
I didn't,
you.
Maybe I should have done more research.
Nah.
And shit. You're like blowing my fucking
it's
mind.
It's all
right
good.
Now. You're blowing my mind right now. You know that?
I don't think about my story often.
God.
I just try and keep one foot in
I'm
front of the
sweating.
Other.
I'm sweating. You're like getting me nervous. I'm
sweating.
Like, who am I dealing with now? She's talking about Method Man. And, okay, but you know what I'm thinking of? I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. Back then, did you ever ask? Because I would have definitely at least thrown this out there. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Meth, do you think he could get a beat from the RZA? Because, I mean, that...
Trust me.
Did you ever think about production? Like, hey, can I get one of them beats? Or
everything in my body wants to ask those things.
But that's
but then every cell in my body is like...
Not yet.
Chill out,
yeah,
kid.
Chill,
like,
chill.
You, this man has been so generous with you.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what I remember all the time, too. Because, so Gab and I get compared to Meth and Red a lot.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be like...
Oh, that's dope. That's a great comparison.
Do you feel, would you, do you think you and, you know, you and Red would want to hop on a Blimes and Gab track and we could do like a fucking quadruple bar down thing?
Oh, yeah, because they had Meth and Red, yeah.
Exactly.
They did albums back then.
Exactly.
They had their own fucking albums.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then I think, and I stop and think, Method Man is his own ass man. And Blimes is a separate person from Gab. So if you're just listening, I'm in a
go ahead.
I'm in a group called
Let's
Blimes and
it.
Gab. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Blimes. I have a solo career as Blimes or Blimes Brixton.
But then Gab.
But Gab is Gifted Gab from Seattle, and we came together on this song called Come Correct that went viral on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just old school bars over this super funky jazz sample piano. Like it's hard body.
Mm-hmm.
But it got us a lot of respect from old school hip hop heads who are hard to gain respect from. So that was tight.
Oh yeah.
But so Gab and I do solo music, but we also come together as a group.
As a group.
Blimes and Gab. And when somebody hits me up about something for Gab, I'm like, she's her own ass woman.
Yeah.
Or when somebody hits her up, she's like, you should go ask Blimes. Like she's her own ass woman.
Yeah.
And so that always pops into my head whenever I'm thinking, you know, it's just being very considerate to the individual and being like, you are you. They're them. I don't want to ever make you feel like I'm trying to get to somebody through you ever.
Right.
Ever. We've created a relationship. If you offer that to me, I'll take it. But I'm not going to ask for it. But of course, a kid in a candy shop, a hip hop candy shop. Of course, I'm thinking of everybody who's.
GZA.
Exactly.
Or the RZA.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a crazy GZA story, but. We'll get into it another time.
I'd like to hear it.
It's an embarrassing. This is one of those most embarrassing moments stories.
No, I would like to hear it. I mean, I've really told a lot of embarrassing stories on my platform.
Oh man, I opened up for GZA in San Francisco.
What year?
This was maybe 3 years ago.
Okay, go ahead.
Four years ago,
yeah.
And my mom came to the show.
Okay,
and we're backstage, and I really wanted to introduce my mom to
The GZA.
Exactly.
So it wasn't just to, for those viewers and listeners, it mm-hmm. wasn't, there's two different, there's two different people. There's the mm-hmm. RZA and mm-hmm. then there's the GZA.
Mm-hmm.
GZA did Liquid Swords. Mm-hmm. RZA is basically the head of Wu-Tang. Mm-hmm. He brought everyone together.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, continue.
If you have seen Wu-Tang, he's the guy playing live or a video. He's the guy who's always playing chess with everybody.
They're deep into chess.
Yeah.
They're deep.
He was playing the whole time.
Oh, they love
it. The whole show was fucking incredible. But
they love it.
All this to say, I wanted to introduce him to my mom, and I was drinking heavy that night. I had gotten off
at soundcheck.
No. This was after I played. This is probably after the show.
After the show,
all my friends are in my green room. His green room's down the hall. We're going buck wild.
This is like after you performed.
After he performed, yeah. Sweaty.
Yeah,
and I'm wasted, pretty drunk. This is one of the reasons I don't drink anymore. Mm-hmm. Is because of the times I've made an ass out of myself in front of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to introduce my mom to him, and I wanted to be formal, and so I introduced him as Gary to my mom. I said, Gary, I'd love for you to meet my mom, Chris. And immediately, I was just like, what the fuck did you just do, Blimes? Like, this is the GZA. Like, no one, probably not even his own family.
I'm just letting you know. I had no idea his name was Gary.
If this ever gets back to the GZA, I just want you to
know. It's a funny story.
I'm so sorry. No disrespect.
No disrespect.
All of the respect. In fact, I was doing it because my drunk ass at the time thought I was being more respectful.
I woke up salute to them.
You know when you wake up in the morning and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I have a similar story too.
Let's go.
My brother was... my brother's an entertainer, comedian, mm-hmm. pretty well known. He's well known. He was hosting.
You've had him on the show before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was hosting an award show at the Wiltern.
I love the Wiltern, by the way.
Quentin Tarantino was there. I mean, the stars were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sober back then, too. And this is how long ago. I drove my little U Celica.
Mm-hmm.
I must have already downed 3 or 4 beers before I even went.
Yep.
He got me backstage access. I'm talking the stars were there.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with the Karate Kid. This is before Cobra Kai, now mm-hmm. on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
This is OG Ralph Macchio.
Oh, yeah.
I made a straight fool out of myself in front of Ralph Macchio. I went up to him drunk as hell, and I go, Karate Kid, dude. You know, like, I was just a clown. Like, Karate Kid, you know? And he was like, and I'm like, and then, you know, it's one of those things I cringe at.
The moment.
Where,
when you're like,
what are you doing? What are you doing? And not only that, that's not even the topper. The mm-hmm. topper is I was sitting in Danny DeVito's seat.
Oh, shit.
So Danny DeVito walks into the green room area mm-hmm. and he goes, hey, kid, that's my seat. And go, nah, dude, I'm sitting here. Yeah.
Nah, Danny.
Yeah. No, Danny, Mr. DeVito. And so, yeah, that's one
damn,
out of many.
I feel you because I've made
what
those mistakes.
I
Can we just take a moment of silence
well,
for the people
we
used to
this,
be?
Maybe we should edit this segment. No, we're leaving this in there.
R.I.P. to that.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to that, Blimes.
I clown myself. Because this is one of those movies.
I just watched that, by the way, at the drive-in.
The original Karate Kid.
I watched it at the drive-in like 3 months ago.
It's one of the best
movies
ever made.
That beach scene?
Oh, yeah.
The fucking fight
Fun
scene?
For everyone.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like where him and Ellie make mm-hmm. that connection.
Yep.
Bonfire.
Yep.
But before Johnny and his gang rolls up
fucking
in the motorcycle.
Johnny, man.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
This is one of those iconic movies that I could watch every day. There's certain movies that I could watch every mm-hmm. fucking day and be like, all right, I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah.
Like First Blood, Rambo, First Blood. Yeah, that's one of them. There's certain movies for me I could just watch all the time. I'll be like, oh, I love it. I still mm-hmm. like it.
It holds up. So I can imagine the weight
of
this moment for you.
I was a fool.
I can imagine the hardship you must have suffered I feel you because I am still to this day trembling when I think about seeing the GZA again and being like, yep, it's me, the dumb drunk bitch that called you Gary in front of my mom. However, there is a really cool photo.
We have a common denominator here. Yeah. We were both intoxicated.
We were both heavily.
I was blasted. Because mm-hmm. I was, at that point, it's all blur because I had my beers here. Yeah. But they had refreshments there. I was grabbing champagne off random tables.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I relate.
So I'm going to put this out in the universe. Mm-hmm. Jizza.
Yes.
We're sorry that happened. Ralph Macchio. I'm sorry I did that. And he probably doesn't even know that happened. You know, but Danny DeVito, I'm sorry.
In the... Mr. DeVito, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm a fool.
In the grand scheme of things, we are probably completely insignificant in their memories.
Oh, they don't even remember. It's
no.
Not, yeah, they don't.
However, if we could get the chance to do it again. Exactly.
For me, it's like some Truman Show shit.
I remember
shit.
I texted Meth after and I was like, Meth, I fucked up. I definitely called Jizza Gary. And he was like, no.
Oh,
like,
you laughed about it?
Yeah. I know, but he was like, no, what did you do? Like,
yeah.
But we had a good laugh about it. But,
now,
man.
Are there certain scenarios? Because now mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make up for my mistake where you made the right choice.
Oh, definitely.
Like, you tell me one, I'll tell you one.
Okay. Damn. Let's see. Well, so there's a movie that just came out on Netflix. Here's my redemption in the Wu-Tang world. There's a movie that just came out on Netflix called Cutthroat City, directed by the RZA.
Oh, and shit. I need to check that out.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. Okay. It just came out. Mm-hmm. It's wild. You will never understand how many peaks and valleys you'll never believe how many peaks and valleys there are. And then you're like, what? We're here now? This is crazy. But I got the opportunity to meet the RZA at the premiere. And I patiently waited my turn to take my picture with him, but only when invited. Like, I didn't go up there, you know, busting through, drunk, you know, in his fucking area. I waited patiently for the music supervisor to introduce me and say, this is Blimes, her song's in the movie.
Yeah.
Her song's in the casino scene.
Right.
And introduce me the right way.
Right.
And have fucking humility.
Right.
And be like very, very humble about the experience. And yeah, for those of you listening at home, if you make it, you know, if you make it to the level where you're rubbing shoulders with the legends of your league, you definitely want to keep your composure and be respectable. But there is something to be said about those moments of meeting somebody and making a lasting impression. And maybe the fumbles, maybe the fuck-ups would make us stick out in their memory for longer. I don't know.
Sure. Well, I know this much. Sure. Adrenaline was probably involved just being super, around that.
Super.
Right? Containing the adrenaline.
I would like to think that I redeemed myself in that scenario by being a good, humble, just Sam, another day at the job, Blimes, going to meet the RZA. Yes, I contributed a song to this movie. I hope you like it. I hope we meet again.
Yeah,
I hope
great.
I redeemed myself.
That's great.
What was your redemption?
Okay, so we're, I'm in a band mm-hmm. called Mongchi. It's more like, you know, there's rap involved. There's country rapping. There's punk involved. It's
everything.
Just everything.
Yeah.
We did a show. We got flown out to... Yeah, that's the band.
Sick.
We got flown out to New York
mm-hmm.
to do a New York Fashion Week. Steve Aoki had a fucking clothing brand. Mm-hmm. So we had that show.
Fire.
And it was the weirdest fucking show mm-hmm. that we've ever done. It's like, imagine performing and sweating and everyone ignoring you. And there's skateboarding ramps everywhere. Like actors skating just around you.
Wow.
And you're like, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we had that show.
Yeah.
Which I wanted to forget right
away. Was that alternate reality times or was that pre-alternate reality times?
What do you mean? Like what do you mean?
Post-2012?
Oh, yeah. This was in between. This was, after 2012. Yeah, in between 2012 and 2021.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Interesting. Okay.
But then we had another, we booked it. So since we're out there, we're mm-hmm. like, hey, let's do another show. So I forgot the name of the venue, but we did another show,
mm-hmm.
just a regular show,
mm-hmm.
besides the Fashion Week thing. And so we were doing sound check, you know, it was at I forgot what club, but we're doing soundcheck at night sometime. Mm-hmm. The night before we were to performing, and we're doing soundcheck, going over some of the songs, yeah. checking the levels, and then I noticed this one brother like on the side. I'm like, God, he looks familiar, and it was fucking Large Professor.
Oh shit, Large Pro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, like with my band, because everyone, they're not so. I'm probably the only like under the hip hop head mm-hmm. or like who would mm-hmm. who would know
mm-hmm. who he is.
Who he is.
Yeah.
So I noticed him because mm-hmm. he was gonna sound check after or mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. and so I thought I did the right things and I respectfully went to him on the side mm-hmm. before before he was doing his sound check, mm-hmm. so he had it like that window.
Yeah.
And so I walked up to him mm-hmm. and I go, hey, you know, mm-hmm. I just want to introduce myself. Yeah. And, you know, I think I may have brought up Main Source. Like, yeah. I grew up with that. And then gave him like the whole,
dapped him up.
And I'm like, hey, I didn't want to bother you, you know.
Hell yeah.
So how did it go?
It was
positive. Yeah. He actually complimented the sound check. He's like, oh, that sounded cool, man. And I'm like, oh, you know, coming from Large Pro, you know. And so, that made me feel like, oh, that was like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And one of those things, you know, I don't know if it's from like listening to Gangstar, but Guru, like on one of his songs, he's like, I didn't do that shit when I wanted to get on.
Yeah.
I just said my, you know, walked up to the person, said what's up, and he was out. And so that was my kind of like personal experience with that, where I maybe took up 30 seconds of his time. Maybe.
Yeah.
I went like, hey, dude, that love shit your goes- shit. And I'm out.
Such a long way. Like, it goes such, I think,
so,
humility.
It wasn't the Ralph Macchio thing.
Right. You redeemed yourself.
So, it wasn't.
He actually, and you showed him some respect.
That
and
was
then
mad respect.
Took the time to show you respect back.
Yeah, it was a very short exchange.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, boom.
Fire.
Respect. I'm out.
We have so many people in common, too, because Large Pro came to Blimes and Gab's show.
I'm so glad that I know you're a real motherfucker
Brooklyn.
If you know Large Pro. You know who that is.
I walked backstage after soundcheck, and he's sitting in Blimes in me and Gab's green room. And I'm like,
chilling?
What the fuck? And our friend Alexis brought him to the show, and he stayed the whole time, and we all kicked it after.
Down to earth, dude.
Super fucking chill.
Yeah.
And that goes so far. Like, I just think that there was a different era. The humility, the genuine, like, if you fuck with somebody and you tell them you fuck with them, you mean it in that era.
They're like,
and you don't
they're
tell
like
them
superheroes
that,
to me,
tell
man.
Them that you don't tell somebody that you fuck with them and not mean it. And the difference is today, everyone tells you they fuck with you when they don't mean it. And then they don't follow through on any of the things that they say. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Or on the flip side of that, mm-hmm. it's almost like, it's because of maybe ego,
mm-hmm.
but they're like, they may fuck with you, but mm-hmm. they're not going to give you the benefit
not
of the doubt.
Not tell you or
they're
not going to
give you that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, they're going to
silently.
Silently fuck with you.
I don't subscribe
to that. You know
what
I'm saying?
But
this is more like
the new era.
Yeah, the new era where like,
I don't subscribe
I'm
to
not,
that.
You know, I may fuck with you, but I'm not going to give you that respect.
I
you know what I'm saying?
I
that's
scream
different.
It from the
rooftops. That's different.
Also, like the listeners deserve to know who the fuck my influences are. Like, I want you to know that I'm listening to, you know, I listened to Jurassic 5 on fucking repeat when I was a kid. I want you to know that, like, I wore the fucking Q-tip Vibrant thing out like when I was a kid, and you can hear it in my music, because I don't want somebody to come and be like, damn, you really sound like Q-tip, and I've never acknowledged it in my life.
That,
like,
I mean, obviously,
right?
Just, you know, like, I'm glad you brought up Q-tip, because that's like one of the, there are certain senseis like I look up to, and he's definitely one of them. Like,
same.
Hands down. Because motherfuckers need to realize, not only did he like bring out this whole genre of new ways of doing the music
itself, the combination.
Yeah.
Shit,
or
the
just,
like,
you know,
mm-hmm.
shout out to Ali Shaheed Muhammad as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And rest in peace, Fife.
Mm-hmm.
But Q-tip, as far as production,
mm-hmm.
he's the man.
Blending the genres.
The
yeah, absolutely.
The fucking man.
I agree. And his voice.
The man.
Is when I think of my earliest memories of rap, I hear Q-Tip's voice.
This is one of those episodes where this is flying by. With you, I feel like I know, I like already know you.
Yeah, same. And it's crazy. So it's I feel like there's a lot of parallels in our career. I also played a show with Steve Aoki Switzerland, like in 2012 or something, or some shit like
Can I tell you another kind of, not humiliating, but it's kind of embarrassing for me. So we did that shit for his clothing brand, Fashion Week. And then, I don't know if it was before or after, he reached out to one of, you know, one of the main dudes in my band Dave Choate. Yeah, like the main dude, you know, and said, I want to remix one of your songs, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, word?
Sick.
And so he did do that, but he, because I'm the lead vocalist in the band.
He took out your vocals?
Not even one sound of me.
Oh.
That reaction was so. That reaction was so priceless. Just your eyes.
Steve,
you just gave me the puppy eyes. The way you looked at me.
I know that hurts.
I felt that in my core.
I'm sorry.
So why are you laughing, man? Why are you laughing, man?
You should totally cut together like most embarrassing moments reel of all of your podcasts.
I have so many.
Your guests as well.
So I fucking, when I heard the news, just imagine me. He's one of the biggest DJs in the world.
You're stoked.
The world.
You're like, Steve Aoki
is remixing a
Monchi
song. We made it. Or this is going to help us out.
And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure you have humility in your soul, but at that time I'm sure you were like, one of my songs with my vocals on it, because that shit makes us feel special. And then you got it back.
And so what he did feature was, we hired a Morgan Freeman voiceover actor where it wasn't even Morgan Freeman. It sounds exactly,
so it's supposed to be like a Morgan Freeman sample.
No. Okay, so before, it's the song's called The Best, and so before we even start the song, Morgan, the actor, the voiceover actor, says something, like says some stuff in it.
Yeah,
that's what Aoki used as the main thing. So he doesn't use any of the lyrics.
That is painful.
So
that's like,
that's when my whole world, just like, I must have stayed in bed for a week, just like bummed out, like, what the fuck?
I'm sorry, man.
Even if it was one word or a punch in of something that I, you know?
There I am.
Yeah, like there, I said, hey. Yeah. He used hey.
Do you hear that, hey? Best hey of the year. That's
it was,
me.
It was zilch. Nothing.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I mean, it's life.
What's the best moment you've had musically? What's the moment where you're like,
rocks? Highlight is going back to the band. We went, got flown to Hawaii. Shout out to Pat and Ruka.
Shout out to Pat and Ruka.
And we opened up for Deltron.
Sick.
And I had a chance to meet Del.
Fire.
So that was probably one of my, like, oh, dude, that's because, you know how I'm a big Hyrule head.
Hell yeah.
And this is going back to you, the Bay. Yeah. You know. And so that was definitely a highlight for sure.
Amazing.
You know.
Congrats.
So, yeah, that was cool. We
don't celebrate our accomplishments enough, but everybody is celebrating them now that the internet era of, like, look at me, I'm doing something is happening. But I feel like on a personal level.
Yeah.
It's always like, okay, I did this. Now what's the next thing that I'm going to do? But I just want to take a moment to say, you fucking did that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it means something personally to me. You know, it's just, it was one of those highlights where I'm like, I mean, and that's priceless. You know, it's like, we didn't get paid a lot for that show.
Right.
I mean, they flew us out there, but it was just the point of like, oh, I got to meet one of the senseis, you know?
One of your
idols. Yeah.
I feel that.
God, time flew by with you.
It did. And we're gonna do part two, part three. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. You're good. Okay. But I didn't want to forget this. Mm-hmm. I want you to plug all your shit.
Okay. Easy.
So, this is your time to do that.
Easy money.
Your Instagram.
My name is Blimes. I am a rapper and a music artist, and you can find me at Blimes Brixton. BLIMESBRIXTON. On all socials, so you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, fucking TikTok, all the shit. Please follow me on TikTok. I'm not sure what I'm doing there yet.
But you're on there.
But I'm there. And I'm in a band called Blimes and Gab, and we have some fire music videos.
How do they support that the best way that they can?
Streaming our album, talk about it. Blimes and Gab, talk about it on streaming services, but also watching the music videos, because music videos have a better monetization.
For your YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Algorithm.
Yeah, viewing the music video makes us more money than listening to the song. So
you heard it here on the CBBB show. Definitely view the video as much as you can.
Yeah, there's...
Tell a friend.
Come Correct, Shelly's, Un Du Toi, more to come. You can watch Hot Damn by Blimes.
That's what's up.
With Method Man. There's a video.
Definitely
for that.
Check that out. Can you plug the YouTube channel again?
Yeah, actually,
if he hadn't.
I don't know what my YouTube channel is, but if you go on YouTube and you search,
Ren, do you have a phone? Can you look that
Blimes.
Up?
Blimes. Yeah, it's probably just Blimes Brixton Vivo, I think, or Blimes Vivo would be where the YouTube, where you could find the videos.
And these are the music videos, right? Mm-hmm. He's my camera guy looking that up real quick.
Shouts out,
while he's doing that, can we plug some other stuff?
For sure.
A website where they can get merch or something?
www.blimesandgab.com, BLIMESANDGAB.com. Or House of Blimes, www.houseofblimes.com. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Gab's Vivo. So you can find Come Correct on Gifted Gab's Vivo, Gifted Gab Vivo, or Blimes Brixton Vivo.
Blimes Brixton Vivo.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Blimes Brixton Vivo. And we just dropped a new music video, which is actually only on YouTube. That's not on a Vivo channel. And that's at Blimes and Gab on YouTube.
Blimes and Gab.
Yeah, Blimes and Gab on YouTube, and the video is called Baptism.
That's awesome.
Run.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
That up. Cool. I also am... I'm sweaty. I literally just drove here from San Francisco and then ran up three flights of stairs and dropped all my shit off in like three.
It worked out though. It worked out.
If you're watching at home,
we would have waited.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about like just being like, guess what? This is the form I'm in today. This is what you're gonna get, and just keeping it real. We're in a pandemic. Haven't got my hair cut in 3 months. You know, we're just rocking the beanie gang.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Satori Mob.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been wearing this a lot. Thank you, Reverie.
If you made it this far watching my sweaty ass sit here and talk to Stevie Weeby, now you know
this
why.
This is gonna be a good.
It's also hot.
This is gonna be a good. Week after week, because we had Rivery, we had Giovanni Marks, we're gonna have you, and then hopefully Gab next week.
Yeah, I gotta connect
and
you.
And then Gavilan as well.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah, so it's gonna be just heavy hitters. Boom.
Oh man, Gavilan! Shouts out to Gab.
Yeah, shout out to
she
Gab.
Took me on my first tour. First two tours, she took me to Europe. We did 30 cities in like 28 days or something.
So
shit
this
like
is
that.
Synchronicity because it's gonna be you, Gab and Gavilan.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom. All in a row.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Incredible.
That's a good look,
and
right?
And you didn't even know.
I didn't even know you guys were connected like that. I woke up at 8 p.m. today.
Holy shit.
There's a
serious alignment happening here.
You think so?
Yeah. That's crazy because Reverie and I toured in Europe together.
Oh, go ahead. Okay, no, Reverie.
Did Reverie connect you to Gavilan as
well? Yeah, no, I've been messaging her for a year, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't until Reverie was on, then Gavilan started messaging me back and agreed to come
on. Sick. Okay, cool.
But I didn't know the connection.
So,
I didn't know you guys knew each other.
I guess Reverie's name rings bells. And you got Rev on, and so now the whole squad is like, oh, if Reverie said...
Yeah, and then you...
She's down, then we're down.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's networking at its finest. Great job.
Well, I killed it. It was by accident.
You killed it.
It was by accident.
You killed it.
Well, I'm glad I did the right thing. And
that,
yeah.
Is that how you get all your guests? You just ask? Is there anybody you recommend?
I don't have a booker, mm-hmm. so I just reach out. I reach out to...
Time's up. Time's up.
Oh, no, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you were... Did I? Okay. No, I just forgot what I was going
to
say.
I don't have a booker. I just reach out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. So I just do it. I just mm-hmm. DM random people. And if it's, I just throw things to the, if things stick, I just throw mud on the wall. If it sticks, I feel that. Then it just sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then asking, like, who do you recommend?
And then, like, after this is mm-hmm. over, I'll be like, hey, do you have any recommendations? Yeah. And then, that's why I think Opio might work mm-hmm. out, because not only did Gino bring it up, you mm-hmm. brought, you know him too
mm-hmm.
in this crazy small world. Yeah. It's like you have connection with him.
Alignment.
Okay, so okay, I have some announcement. It was a great. You're always welcome here.
Thank
always.
You. That was wonderful.
Pound on that. I'm looking forward to meeting Gab as well.
Yeah.
So we do have a Patreon attached to this. If you want to help support this podcast and make it survive through these treacherous COVID times, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. StevieWeebyShow.com. If you want to get any merch, just know the orders may be delayed because of COVID, quarantine. Instagram/QUANGOU. All my music's at StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. I do have a new project finished. I need to master it and figure out the album cover, blah, blah, blah. It might be out because we're ahead on scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
So at this, when this is out, it might be out by then. I don't know. It might be. Just go on my Bandcamp.
Go check. Go listen to it.
We do have a P.O. box. If you want to send any packages or letters, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. It was an honor having you.
Thank you so much, Stevie Weeby.
And we're out. Oh, Lil Ray is going to be back soon, hopefully.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.